everyone. Welcome to the latest episode of You Deserve Fresh Lettuce. I am your co-host, Rachel.
And I'm Delia.
And in this episode, we're going to be talking about dying alone to protect
your assets.
Let's get into it. Okay, so let's talk about the inspiration for this. Oh, before we get into that, if you aren't doing so already, be sure to follow us across all social media platforms at YDFL Podcast. You can also listen to us on your favorite podcast platform, including...
Or you can also ask Alexa. We always say that.
And if you want to watch all of the shenanigans...
And the new studio setup.
Yes, check us out on YouTube. To those of you listening around the world, over 28 countries at the time that we are filming this and recording this, thank you, thank you, thank you. Please head on over to the comment section of our social media accounts. Let us know where you're listening from. We'd love to hear from
you. Like, comment, share with 3 friends. And we're trying to grow our YouTube following. So if you're not on YouTube, check us out. Check out the fits, as they say, and our mannerisms as we talk with our hands, almost drop
and
all
look at
of
each
the
other
glasses.
And
yes,
like,
and like roll our eyes 100 times. So yeah, definitely subscribe to our channel and support us.
Yes, welcome.
Welcome.
Okay, so we are getting into it. So there are these guys all over the country, especially in the United States, that will literally rather die
alone
to just not have the risk of having to pay a woman out during divorce or whatever, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is something that came up in a conversation that I was having this conversation with a fellow friend slash doctor, and he was basically saying that, you know, what he's been seeing or experiencing is that a lot of these men are getting older and older, and they're deciding not to get married because they're afraid to lose literally their asses and their assets. And so a lot of the time I think that, you know, unfortunately, because of divorce being like the stats being so high, I know that there was a moment in time where they said that most divorces will end up in, like, most people that get married will end up getting divorced, like 60%. I would like to challenge that percentage and say it's probably a little bit higher. And probably not only that, but probably that 40 to 30% of those people probably are miserably married. But I can't say that marriage is that horrible or that miserable, right? I really can't. But what he was basically saying is that he's noticed that as he was treating a lot of these patients, they're getting older. They have maybe a nurse, but they don't have like a family member because you have to remember, they never got married.
And they never
had
kids.
And they chose not to procreate.
Yeah.
I've known of men, by the way, that just decided to just go get snipped without having any children. They just decided that they didn't want to have any children. And the way that the conversations that I've had basically are like, why bring them into this world that is just crazy, that is just this, that is just that? And then you got someone like Nick Cannon that's like, just
fertilize the seeds,
well, and yeah, valleys.
So on that note, you know, I ended up, so Delia, you know, mentions this story to me, and I'm like, oh my God, I just saw a video of a woman who is like an in-home nurse, and she specializes in the elderly care facilities.
Right.
Which are, by the way, really wonderful business ideas. But so she was in one where, and she, not in one, she's been in so many, and one of the common themes that she kept seeing is that these men are alone and on visitation day or family day, that
right.
they don't have any family, they don't have anybody, no children, no nobody. And she said to the point where even like their cars or like these fancy cars are old, you know, now they're old.
Yeah.
They're just being like sold to whoever.
Auctioned off kind of thing.
You know what I mean? Like,
or
here,
donated,
just come tow it away.
Yeah.
When these guys die. And she was saying that she's had started to have conversation with these men to go, what was it in life that made you say, I don't want to get married or I don't want to have kids? And it was like, oh, because I was focused on my career, I built my wealth, and I just didn't trust anyone.
Yeah.
And it's like, really, you're going to go all that way just to not have to potentially risk this 50%, you know, oh, you're going to have to give up
but
half your assets.
I guess, you know, the million-dollar question to me would be like, right, and I always say this, like the prenup. Like, why would you not consider a prenup? And I know that even if you have an ironclad prenup, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're not going to lose your ass. Either way, like, male or female, because nowadays, you know, women make as much money as men, if not more.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's wise to get a prenup. But I know maybe these people are a little older, maybe like in their 60s, 70s, 80s.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if it was like a thing to do or not. But I think like, okay, so you find someone, then why not have that conversation? Like, are you willing to sign a prenup? And if the person's willing to sign a prenup, you know, with your clause in there, meaning like, if you cheat on me, you know,
yeah,
then we do away with it. I don't know. Like, this is, it's just a conversation, a way that, you know, you would just have a conversation and say, hey, this is how I'd like to operate. But
and I think it's interesting because obviously these are business level men if they were able to make their wealth, unless they're drug dealers or mobsters or whatever. But even then, there's a business element to it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So I imagine that they would have approached relationships then like a business, because that's what it is.
It's the heaviest
legal contract you will ever get yourself into. And there is no like courses for it ahead of time. And so at the end of the day, I'm incredibly surprised by that. I know that I've mentioned before, my son, my younger son, and even my older son, but mostly my younger son, has this thing because there's so much divorce all around. Me and his father divorced, but even he says, oh my gosh, I'm trying to build and I'm trying to do all these things, but even he's nervous, hasn't even truly met the girl yet, mm-hmm. and he's already nervous about what he's going to lose along the way. And I said to him, in life, like in sales or in business, if you're so afraid of getting the yes, if you're so afraid of getting the no, you'll never get the yes.
Right.
If you're so afraid of the failure, you'll never go for the thing in order to succeed. And so I would say to you, if you're listening to this, if you're one of the Fab 15 men that watch, you got to keep that in mind. If you're a woman dating a wonderful man who's afraid, who loves you, but maybe is afraid of marrying you for this reason, have that conversation. Say, you're a smart businessman.
Yeah.
Let's treat it like a business deal. Let's go. Like, let's do this. Let's do this thing called life together.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Why not? I don't know. But I think because of everything that you see, and even like these men that have made massive wealth, and then Business Bloomberg comes out with like the stats of what he lost and how bad he lost. And back in the day, Michael Jordan was like up in the rankings of like a person that has lost all his ass. I know that he recently got married, and I think that they had some type of ironclad prenup, but that didn't stop him from finding love. You know, I think he had an understanding that eventually he'd want to get married again. And I think there's nothing worse than actually getting married to someone that you know probably is only there because of the trips and the gifts and the money. And if you really take into consideration, like we as women do want a provider and a protector, but really understand, is this person there because I am a provider and a protector, or is she here because she wants to get an upper hand on what I've built?
Yeah.
And I think that usually smart men, or men that have built these massive wealth or built massive wealth, I think that they are pretty good about gauging that, right? I think that they are.
I kind of noticed though that because I agree with you, I think they see it, but I think because they're so visual and sexual and all these kinds of things that they look past certain things, or they convince themselves that they're not going to let themselves truly fall in love with this girl, but they enjoy her company, or they enjoy her body, or they enjoy whatever, however it makes him look to others because she looks a certain way. Even if they'll have that hesitation in the back of their mind all day long. And so it makes it.
But you know what's another thing? Because you're saying that, here's the unfortunate part. And this is where sometimes other men, other people, other family members are going to instill doubt in you.
Yes.
If you are with that woman you just described that looks beautiful, smells good, in shape,
and she's fun,
takes care of herself,
you guys match each other.
And then all of a sudden your buddy comes up to you, your bro comes up to you and is like, dude, I don't trust her. You know, it seems like she's gotten around. You know, so-and-so dated her. Or, you know what, she's probably just going to be there with you, for you, or whatever, because of the money that you have. She's a gold digger. And even if you believe that to be different, they've already planted that negative seed about her. And
it's like an egg planted in your mind that's going to like hatch.
And even if you believe that to be different, even if you know that like when you've been sick, she's taken care of you, she's made soup for you, she's catered to you, and you've seen these qualities in this woman, the minute anything negative comes into their ear, that is wiped out as just straight negative information that you're like, I'm sorry, I processed the negative information and I can't get away or go around that.
And I think the hardest part about someone like that, if we're really getting into it, you know, if you're listening and you're a man that you let people in your ear like that, because I always say the last person in your ear wins. And if you have this amazing person by your side that, by the way, is flawed, by the way, has a history, by the way, so do you. And so are you. And at the end of the day, there is no perfection because you're not perfect, right? And so you just got to go, what feels good right now? Who completes me right now? Who is in line? Who checks those big boxes? We talk about all the time.
Oh, yeah, no,
there's
for
boxes,
sure.
And then there's like big boxes.
Non-negotiables.
Yeah.
There's the non-negotiable boxes, and then there are the little boxes, there are the little petty boxes that you're like, well, I can do away with this or that or the other.
Yes, and so you really started, you guys are, some of you, very smart businessmen, and you got to just treat it that way, because at the end of the day, if you're so afraid of falling in love and choosing the wrong girl, you'll never choose. and then you'll be growing old in one of these homes with all your stuff that you don't get to take with you, and who's going to come wipe your ass? That guy? That guy that partied with you and was like, oh no, you could do better. Oh no, why are you with her? Oh, blah, blah, blah. You gotta
and
keep
that's
that in
always,
mind.
You know what? That's always the thing, right? It's like, you could do better than that. You could do better than that. You could do better. And then, so a lot of the time too, though, this is what I've seen too, and from my personal experience, if you're very successful, a lot of people, depending on what your circle looks like, hopefully the people around you are just as successful, they are living vicariously through you.
Yeah.
And that's why a lot of the time they'll say, if you want to have a family life, then you have to surround yourself with family people in order for you to build that, to say, you know what?
Yes.
Rather than going out on a Saturday and, like, you know, doing bottle service, even if you're like 50 plus years old and still doing like the party, what is it, drugs, sex, and rock and roll.
Yeah.
Rather than doing that, if you're around people that are a little bit more business oriented, family oriented, and they have all those qualities,
they're well-rounded people,
then
yeah.
it will make you feel like, I need to have a well-rounded life where, yes, I can still kind of go out, but I'm not just doing the sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
Yeah.
And because at the end of the day, like, it's whatever you want for your life. But I think there's nothing worse than worrying about losing that you end up losing anyway.
That you don't gain.
Because death is inevitable.
It's inevitable.
Like,
and I think that anything that's fear-driven is a mistake. And so if you are operating in fear, fear of falling in love, fear of choosing the wrong one, fear that she's going to divorce you and take half your stuff, you know, maybe you're getting involved with someone. And by the way, we're talking to the men here. All you ladies are probably like, why are they talking to us like this? But if we're talking to the Fab 15 men, ladies, if you know a guy that is successful as a businessman and he's just, he's 50 and he still hasn't figured out that whole thing.
Life, yeah.
Send him this video, because we're here to tell you it's okay. Like, we've met, I personally met, you personally met several different people that are high level and they focused immensely on a career, never been married, never had kids. And they're now looking back going, oh man, like, guess I really like you, but I'm now at a place where I don't want kids. Like, so you got to move. You got to start making these decisions
fast. Yeah.
Because otherwise you're going to end up in that old home because your parents aren't going to be here, by the way, when you're an old man.
Right.
Like, they're just not.
And at the end of the day, like, I know that we were at a bar, coincidentally, and we were sitting down and there was this gentleman that had been at the Playboy Mansion. He was talking about all the women he was trying
Mr. Hollywood.
Yeah, Mr. Hollywood is what his name. His nickname was Mr. Hollywood. And Mr. Hollywood basically told us that, like, now his junk in the trunk doesn't, or whatever, doesn't work anymore. So he can probably pick up on that young girl, but now he has to take her to the Chanel store. Now, I'm not saying that everyone needs to operate in this regard, or maybe you don't have Chanel money, but the girls that truly want you for you are going to be there for you, not for what you give them.
Yeah.
But he understands, though, that these women are not going to date him unless he's bringing something to the table that's very valuable in their eyes, which are jewelry, which are shopping sprees, which are, you know, giving them an allowance and money. And he was basically having this conversation with us and giving us a breakdown. And I wouldn't say that he was regretting that he didn't have a partner, but he, in retrospect, felt like all this time he spent just kind of withering away for no reason. And now he's older and he wished he could have, you know, found someone that maybe he's just one-on-one with. But these women are not going to want to be with him.
Especially because, look, now I'm talking to the ladies. Listen, we all know when you start to get involved with guys that are older, there's this narrative of like, oh, women lose their value as they get older. There's this narrative of that, right?
Yeah.
It just is. It's societal.
Right.
It's always been there, okay? But here's the reality. We know this, ladies. Men are getting older. Stuff don't work. I don't care, even Viagra or whatever. There's just certain things not happening. There's certain things, whatever. And you are being enrolled to, or signed up to become a nurse. Essentially, this dude's going to have problems.
We've talked about this so many times.
Yes. And you are, we're having to, as women who are now coming into our own, like, many of you guys go to the gym, like, we're still, like, with our long hair, we're still doing our makeup, we're still wearing heels, well past our 40s and 50s, many of us, where our grandmothers weren't doing that, some of our mothers weren't doing that, and so it's a different time, it's a different era, and what I'm getting at is, we're not necessarily going into this wanting to be nurses.
Right. And see, a lot of the time, like, we could take this back to, and this is such a tangent, but, like, when we were on Bumble, and we were trying to go on these dates. And when you really take into consideration, because you'd figure if you're going to be with someone, right, you'd want them to be a little older. So let's just say you're in your 40s and you got to click up to like 45, you know, 48, 50. And then 10 years from now, that's going to make them in their 60s. And now you have to really take into consideration that you're no longer in your 20s or in your 30s doing the young thing. Like now, you know, this person might need back surgery, might need knee surgery, or like
knee replacement surgery.
And that's very
hip surgery.
And all the things like, it's like, are you willing? Granted, this person probably has a means to get a nurse, but there's nothing nicer, warmer, more beautiful than knowing that the person that's taking care of you is a person that loves you and wants to heal you or wants to help you heal versus just some random 20-year-old that's just like, I'm going to hire a nurse, give me the black Amex, I'm out.
So exactly. And so I'm telling that because, and I'm saying that because I have, you know, I had a friend, beautiful woman, and she met a guy who's older than her, very high level Fortune 500 type guy.
Wow.
They were at his lodge. He falls down the stairs, breaks his leg or whatever. And so for however many weeks, it was like a wheelchair situation. And I remember hearing from her going, I don't know if I could do this. Like, it was this whole, like, she was having this moment. And, you know, wonderful guy. And she genuinely cared, you know,
about him.
But at the end of the day, she really struggled with this. She was getting a little sample, like a little glimpse of what it's like to date a person who's going to always be much older than her.
Right.
And that was the first time she got nervous. That was the first time she got
scared. And not to be rude, Rachel, and like, sorry to all you guys, the Fab 15 that are listening. Man, when you guys get sick, you guys are babies. Like,
holy moly. It's
like,
not even a good attitude.
Oh my gosh. It's like, I don't think I've ever met a man that is very, like, the minute you're sick, it's like, oh my gosh, stop the world. Like, it's, you know, like, hell's gonna freeze over. It's like a whole thing. Ugh. And so, I think at the end of the day, like, I guess a real message is live, enjoy. If it's the money that you're worried about, get that prenup. You know, at the end of the day, like, we're here for such a short time, and it's such a morbid message. But at the end of the day, like, we're here for such a short time. And oftentimes the things that we're running around, like, I got to get this done and this and that. And you're running around to got to go to the market. You got to go do this, or you got to take this trip, whatever it is. And then God says,
boom,
you're done.
And
all the things that you thought were so important that were on your ledger, that were on your things to do, top priority, don't matter anymore. So,
like, you just want your health at that point.
It just doesn't matter. Like, at that point, it doesn't matter. Like, God says, you're done. The show's over for you here. And I always say, you know, everyone says YOLO, you only live once. And I always say YOLO, you only die once. And that is so true. You only die once.
It's so true. Ladies, if you are involved with a guy who's a little bit older, he seems hesitant, he seems, maybe he does well for himself or whatever, and he's like, I don't want to lose my house, I don't want to lose this, I don't want... But at the end of the day, you need to look at him and say, listen, you're wanting me to be in your life, right, without the investment or the commitment, yet you're essentially enrolling me to be your nurse. I mean, in 10 years from now, if something happens, like, I know my role, like, I'm going to have to be, like, your nurse or your caretaker or oversee all of this stuff and, like, manage the finances with your kids or whatever.
And then sometimes, also with men, too, you know, like, unfortunately, this is, you know, there are things that women will encounter, like breast cancer and this and that. And you
obviously... The men leave.
Yeah, well...
It's like an 80% something.
Some men may stay. Some men may stay. I have heard some horror stories. One of them was, you know, this guy, like, I don't know, he had prostate cancer, which, if you guys know how most people get prostate cancer, I'm not a doctor, it's usually because
it's
they
like
don't release
their
stuff down there anyway, so this is going on a super tangent, and he got chemotherapy. Well, from the chemotherapy, there's like a very slight chance that you can go blind. Well, he was one of that slight percentage that went blind. So, of course, the wife was under the impression that, you know, he's just going to go through chemo. She's going to be there to aid him, help him, whatever. He goes blind. He's going through chemo, and she just couldn't handle it. So sometimes, you know, depending on who you choose to be your life partner, you have to take into consideration, is this person, does she have that warmth? Can she hold it down? Is she going to be there for me? Because I wanted to cry when I heard the story, by the way. It made me so sad because then I had heard about this particular person, about her husband. dude, she was screwing around with the freaking, the trainer.
Oh, okay.
You know? And yeah. It's like, go figure, the trainer, right? And so when I heard the story, I was like, you know, that is like, I don't ever want to say like, that's karma, like, oh, she's going to get her karma, because no. Who am I to say that?
Yeah.
But man, you have to have like a big set of balls to do that. Like, that is not cool.
I think that this is part of the thing that happens too, and I could be wrong, with men who they married the first wife, and this woman they married, we said it in another episode,
oh, yeah.
likely chose her because they could envision her being a wonderful mother. It wasn't necessarily the most attractive or the one that made their heart pitter-patter, but the one that they thought, I could build a family with
right.
her, okay?
Right.
Then they trade her up, right, for the new model and whatever. Okay, cool. But guess what? When they circle back over and they become the one in diapers, or they become the one incapacitated or whatever, I have a feeling they're going to be thinking about that original wife,
right.
the first one, because he had a front row seat to how she nurtured the children and what she, the patience she had, or whatever that original thing he saw in her.
Right.
So if you're a man and you're married to a woman that you only married her because you thought she'd be a good mother, keep in mind, before you divorce her for that next model, you probably need that quality
in the next person.
In the next 20 years. Or,
right,
or,
for sure.
or in the next person. But you probably are going to really need that quality that originally attracted you to her back when you end up in some stuff.
Right, right. And
yeah.
if you never take that leap of faith, at the end, we all die. At the end, it's inevitable.
It's all
at
temporary.
The end, it's a completely morbid thought, and
yeah.
it's a morbid message, but it's the truth. We know that we're not here for a long time, and so if you're worried about losing, you know, protect yourself, but really take into consideration that, you know, I have like this particular doctor, you have that lady that's a nurse. It's basically saying, like, at the end of the day, like, they're dying alone, and who's taking care of them? It's the nurses. No one's coming to see them. Why? Because they never had a family. They didn't have anyone, because they were so afraid of losing
yeah.
that at the end, I wouldn't say it's a loss, but essentially it is, because now you can't even enjoy
yeah.
what you built, because now you're in a home. Take being
Having
taken care of.
Having a stranger wipe your
you
know
rear.
What?
So,
yeah.
you know, I mean, take those things into consideration. Just live, enjoy, and just remember, like, nothing is forever. Like, not life, not this moment, not anything that we're doing. And the things that we think are so important really are
They're
not
just
important.
Not.
They're just so, it's just, we're just going through the motions of life, just living. So, enjoy the moment, live, and that's the message.
See you next Tuesday.
Fresh
you deserve
fresh lettuce. Cheers.